Here was blocking his view forward. Ryan swiveled one of the armaglass periscopes and peered ahead. The road forked near the ruins of an old gas station. The Texaco sign had been snapped in half and rested in the dirt. The pumps had remained in place like a row of patient sentinels, but the gas would have been long, long taken.
Go right here. It's about a half mile close by a river.
The trader was illiterate and had never learned how to use maps. But over the short years that Ryan had ridden with him, he'd been amazed at the sharp detail of his memory. There didn't seem a track or trail in the Deathlands that he hadn't traveled and remembered, and not a single ville that he hadn't visited during his life. But like most of the crew of the War Wags, nobody knew much about the trader's background. He was in his early 40s with graying hair. When he could get them, he smoked sickeningly strong black cigars. He ate sparingly, rarely drank more than a single glass of alcohol, and was utterly ruthless when the occasion demanded. But where he originally came from, that was an enigma shrouded in mystery. The multi-wheeled vehicle lurched and pitched as it turned off the road. Through the dusty image in the scope, Ryan could make out the sheen of water, glinting silver through a stand of live oaks to the left of the trail. Balancing himself against the rolling of the vehicle, he turned the glass around and watched War Wag 2 follow them toward the campsite. It was barely visible through the roiling clouds of orange sand that War Wag 1 sent spiraling into the hot afternoon air.
Slow. Left by that wrecked building. Flattens out there.
For a moment, nobody moved, waiting for the order from the trader. He picked up the intercom mic off the dash.
Clear behind?
Yo!
Course?
Yeah!
Starboard side.
Clear, trader!
He leaned forward for a last look ahead, checking that there was no potential threat.
All right, everyone out. Scouts establish perimeter, and cooks and helpers get water and fires going. Maintenance, look at the third axle. Check the bearings. That's it, people. Let's go.
Fatback, okra, and sweet potatoes, cooked in large iron cauldrons blackened from age and long usage, comprised the meal. The food was washed down with some good coffee sub that they'd picked up cheap from a Puebloville on the edge of West Texas. Cheap because there'd been a misunderstanding with the Baron over how much Jackie was paying for his goods, a misunderstanding that had been resolved by the trader personally cutting off both of the man's thumbs as a lesson in honest dealing. Ryan lay back on the stubbled, dusty grass, resting his head on his hands. He looked up through the sun-dappled branches of the trees, staring at the darkening sky. As he watched, a chunk of nuke debris came hurtling into the purple atmosphere and burned up in a blaze of ferocious silver light. Over the years, Ryan had noticed that the amount of incidents like that seemed to have diminished. The chemstorms seemed less frequent and less violent. Trader had reminisced once that when he was a kid, the storms had been worse. Back then, acid rain near some coasts had stripped the paint off a wagon in a couple of hours, and the skin off a man's face in a quarter hour. JB came and sat down by Ryan, gnawing on a knuckle bone of ham that he'd begged from one of the cooks.
Good camp.
Yeah. One of the things about the armorer that Ryan liked was that he would never use three words if he could get away with using only two. The river was clean, flowing fast and pure over bare rocks. There was a small stretch of rapids upstream with a cool, deep pool of stillness at its base. Some of the crew had already stripped off and dove in, snatching a rare chance for a good, safe bath. The fringe of trees gave shelter from the falling sun, but wasn't thick enough to provide cover for any mutie attack. The low hills around, therefore, were scouted and guarded. Lots of places where the two wags stopped for a night were so dangerous that it meant all sleeping on board, battened down, with a watcher at every obslit. Here, in the clean air among the foothills of the Rockies, life was good. JB took his Browning high-power MK2 double-action automatic from its holster and went through his evening ritual, field stripping and cleaning, and oiling and reassembling. All was done without even looking down at his scurrying, nimble fingers. He'd traded for the blaster a couple of weeks ago, paying an awesome amount of jack to an old man in a log cabin near where they'd camped. The weapon was in immaculate condition. The old man said it had belonged to his grandfather, which took it quite safely to back before Skydark. The magazine, with its 13 rounds of 9mm full metal jacket ammo, lay in JB's lap. His spectacles glinted scarlet in the last rays of the setting sun as he looked across at Ryan.
You should get yourself a better blaster, Ryan. And you need a long gun.
I can't afford to pay that kind of jack just for an automatic.
Good as it gets, blaster like this. Ambidextrous safety catch, 31 ounces of efficiency. Must be way over 100 years old. Maybe 150.
One of the mechanics on Warwag 2, a skinny black guy called Dexter, was a genius on a guitar and often played around the campfires in the evening. Ryan had watched the way his fingers danced over the strings, as though they had a life totally their own. As Ryan watched JB reassembling the blued steel automatic, he had the same feeling, admiring a manual skill that he knew he could never achieve.
You should clean your blaster, Ryan. Last time I looked at it, I figured you'd been using it to hammer nails and stir stew.
Stung by the attack, Ryan slowly drew his pistol from the holster on his right hip. It was a battered Ruger Blackhawk revolver that he'd won in a wager in a gaudy house in some frontier pest hole up north, close to the snowline border.
Man like you shouldn't ever be given custody of a decent blaster. And look at it. 12.5 inches long. Takes a week to clear the holster. And only 6 rounds.
It's a real stopper. Put down a charging sticky.
Sure. 10 ounces heavier than mine. Big 357 will stop anyone. Grant you that.
I'd back it against your little blaster, JB. Get all 6 in a can top at 50 yards.
It was a sore point with the armorer that his technical skill with weapons wasn't quite matched by his shooting ability. He knew that Ryan was the better man with a handgun, and it irked him.
I can put a 50 caliber round through a can top at 500 paces, Ryan. With my sharps, match that.
I can't. You got an ace on the line with that one. But I can't crap around with that on my back. It's like carrying a shovel when you don't never need to dig a big hole.
You'll learn, kid.
Don't call me kid, old man.
Yeah, sorry. Damn nice out here.
Yeah. Times like this, you forget about the chilling. Clean air and the stink of spilled blood's gone.
JB scratched the top of his head, where his hair was beginning to thin. Only a week ago, he'd appeared from a scouting expedition around an old housing estate, proudly sporting a brand new light brown fedora, which now lay beside him on the warm earth.
How long we been together?
How long?
Yeah, since we met up with Trader.
Want to count in days, miles, or firefights? Or how about corpses?
Beautiful evening like this, and you get hit with the gloomy stick.
Sorry. It's just that there's times when I look ahead. Wonder where we'll both be in 10 more years. Still riding with a traitor? Still keeping a finger on the trigger all the time?
Rat blast, of course not. I'll be a retired gentleman of leisure, running the best dealing store for quality blasters in all Deathlands. How about you, Ryan?
Married with kids and a spread of good land. Or dead. Quién sabe. Who knows?
The trader looked Ryan up and down, like a general examining a young lieutenant before sending him off on a diplomatic mission.
Back in 2 hours and 45 minutes, Ryan. No longer.
Sure.
The Ville died years ago, attacked by scabbies and burned out. Doubt you find much worth finding up there. Look out for any clues to a redoubt.
Lovely day for a walk, trader.
Bright sun makes for a good target.
There were 5 in the recon party. Ryan was leader, with Hun as second. Ben, a tall, quiet relief gunner with dark glasses, made 3. Ray was a driver of Warwag 2. Lox was the shortest member of either crew, barely making it to 5 feet tall, but the effervescent little blonde girl was a great auto mechanic. All of them were armed with a variety of blasters. Ben toted an Uzi, while Hun had a sawed-off 10-gauge slung over her shoulders. Ray carried a pair of unmatched European 32s, and Lox had a handmade 38 at her belt, a 6-shot revolver that she'd found on a garbage dump and repaired herself. Up the slope, away from the river, it was still possible to make out the overgrown traces of the side trail, winding across the hillside over a hogback ridge and disappearing. When they reached the ridge, Ryan held up his hand for a pause, looking back to the foaming ribbon of the river, the 2 dusty war wags, and the cluster of small fires. He automatically checked his wrist chron. Ahead of them, the trail was less distinct, obscured by low brush and long meadow grass, but it led toward a narrow valley. It was a bright, clear morning, the sky flawless except for a collection of fluffy cream clouds far away to the northwest. Ben scanned the higher slopes above them.
Grizzly country.
Heard there's a muted grizzly around here. Humpback sow, flecked silver and gray. They say she ripped the side clear off a